Well, Brother David asked me, I think it was Thursday, to give the message this morning, and when he asked me, I was silent for about 10 seconds, and he said, okay, we got that covered. So anyway, I'm going to do the best I can and hopefully say something that's beneficial. Why don't we go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this day. We just pray that your will be done. Lord, we pray for your spirit. And we just ask that that we have open ears, that you lead us and guide us, help us get through this hard and confusing life sometimes, and just help us to be encouraged and to see light, and help us not to get too caught up in all the traps around us, Lord. Help us just to keep our eyes on you, and just lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 10. Verse 25. It's a story we all know really well. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And so here's this man who's a lawyer, which means he was an expert in the law. He knew the Bible. He knew the law really well. And he's coming to Jesus and he's asking him the most important question in the whole universe. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus answers him and he says, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answers and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Okay, so he asked the greatest question in the universe: how do I have eternal life? How can I live forever? How can I make it to heaven? How can I escape all the darkness? And Jesus gives him the answer, and he says, "If you love God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you will live, and you will have eternal life." Then it says, but this man who had just received the answer to his question, the thing that would fix, the thing that would give him what he needed, he wanted to justify himself. It says, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And I just think that that's really sad, you know, that this man was so focused on himself that he missed what God had for him. God had eternal life for him. He had the answer that he needed. But this man was so had things twisted up so much that he was more worried about justifying himself in front of Jesus than he was actually being what Jesus wanted him to be. And I think we can be like that. Sometimes we get so caught up on justifying ourselves, making ourselves look good in front of other people's eyes, wanting to not be a failure, wanting to be right. And we get so caught up in that that we miss doing right. We miss what the opportunities are right in front of us to do good for other people. So then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, who stripped him of all his clothing. He wounded him, or they wounded him, and departed. They left this man half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. This priest passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." And Jesus asked, "So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And the man said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." That was Jesus' answer to the greatest question that there is. You know, we can make religion so complicated. You know, there's doctrines, there's theologies, you know, and Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor, you know, and you'll make it. And that's all he told this man. He said, go and do likewise. Sometimes we get so caught up in, not all of us, some of us don't have this problem, but some people do, that they let their religion get in the way of being decent human beings. And that is a tragedy. Some people let their religion, or their wanting to be justified, wanting to be right, wanting to be holy in the eyes of others, they let that get in the way of forgiveness. They can't forgive somebody. Or they let their religion get in the way of compassion. And one time when we were street preaching years back, went out with a group of guys and went out at nighttime to this area that had restaurants and it had bars. And we were about done for the night. We're headed back to the vehicle and we're walking along the sidewalk, our group, and we pass by this other group that's coming by us, and one of the men sees our signs, and the man says, "Oh, wow, Jesus." He's like, "I love Jesus," or something like that. He's like, "High five," you know. And, you know, and sometimes that's a little obnoxious, but this guy, he was kind of serious about wanting to connect. And I remember he reached up his hand to high five, and the guy that he said that to in our group, as we walked by, the guy didn't look at him. He just looked straight ahead and just said, "Not for you," and just walked right on by. And I remember just, you know, just being in pain a little bit, because I thought that was rough. And then the guy was really upset. The guy was really mad, and you know, kind of verbalized that a little bit. But I really felt bad. Because the guy just took it like, I mean, the guy who said it probably didn't mean it this way, but the way the guy took it was, I'm not going to touch you because you're sinner trash. And anyway, I thought that was not good. And I thought that was, you know, lots of people have had experiences like that where there was somebody who they looked at as being religious or spiritual, and that person that they were looking up to just ends up just, you know, just sticking them with a knife, you know. And that lasts a long time, and that can do a lot of damage to somebody. Lots of people have stories like that where religion just became really ugly for them. you know, on the other hand, I've also seen some really good things. You know, Jesus, there's times when Jesus got pretty upset in the scriptures. And when he was upset, it was either at the Pharisees or, you know, the people that were in the temple that were twisting religion for their own profit. You know, Jesus got pretty upset. And there's times, I think, when that's appropriate. You know, I've seen Brother David get upset when he thought there was a religious spirit that was causing destruction. And I understand that. That reminds me of Jesus. And I've also seen on the street, I remember one time where this person came up to us that was obviously, you know, a perverted sinner, just messed up, but they were kind of sincere and just looking to see if possibly we had something to offer. And I remember this person who was, you know, you would think at the lowest of the low, reached out their hand to shake David's hand. And I remember David grabbing their hand and, you know, holding on to it. And I thought, you know, that was right. You know, and every situation is different. You know, it's not just, you know, not everything just works across all situations. But, you know, if we notice that someone's in need of something and we might have help for them, we might have what they need, don't let your self-focus or your religion especially get in the way of reaching out to somebody who needs something. Our religion, we all have a religion here. We all call ourselves Christians. Our religion is to be good to people. And I'm very thankful that that is my religion, that my religion is not just a whole bunch of pointless ceremony, that my actual religion is to love my neighbor. That's what we've all signed up for. That's a, you know, and I think that's a, you know, what could be better than to show love to this dark world? Our mission is to be salt. Our mission is to be light. Sometimes we get too caught up in our own lives. We all have ideas. We all have, you know, families that we're providing for. We all have, you know, hopes and dreams. We've got a lot going on. But sometimes we can let those things get in the way of what our religion is, what our mission is. And we just need to be careful. They say there's 7.5 billion people on the earth, but somehow we still think it revolves around us. And we just need to be careful. One of the struggles of Christianity is how to be holy without being a Pharisee. I've seen holy men who show compassion, and I've seen holy appearing men and women not be very compassionate. There's a, you know, I think especially, you know, a lot of people that we know and in our circles, you know, we try to take Christianity pretty serious. We try to take the Bible as serious as we can, and you know, and to the extent where, you know, our wives, you know, dress modestly, and, you know, and people can pretty much tell just by a glance that, you know, we're some type of religion. And we just need to be conscious of that, and we just need to be able to be ready to help so people don't get as confused, you know, with something that's dead. We want to be helpful. There's another great trap in Christianity. A lot of people use Christianity to elevate themselves above others. Christianity is a magnet for men who want to be elevated. And I say that because that was my own experience. Whenever I first became a Christian, I was nothing, and then I had a chance to be something. And you know, my life was a wreck when I was a young man. When I became a Christian, all of a sudden I had the opportunity to be right. I had the opportunity to be above others. You know, I wouldn't have said that, and I didn't want to face that, but there is that attraction that, you know, in Christianity is kind of a weird religion that whenever you become part of that, or at least in some denominations, in some churches, you're kind of encouraged to, you know, all of a sudden give advice to everybody in the world, you know, and all of a sudden you're an expert in life and the universe and just everything. And, you know, we just need to be careful that when we do what we do, we're not looking down our nose at others that are in the same situation that maybe we would have been had it not been for the Lord. And so we just need to be careful not to elevate ourselves above others, you know, especially in the more radical groups of Christianity. You know, a lot of men out there, they can't get along because they're all trying to be the prophet. They're all trying to be, you know, something really high. And instead of just, you know, being a part or just being helpful, being good. So be careful. Don't use your religion to elevate yourself above another person. Men have used the Bible to elevate themselves for ages. They have used the Bible to divide and to destroy. And I don't think that was ever God's intention. That, you know, that we have the Bible, you know, to show us light, to show us a direction to go, to give us, you know, something to stand on. But somehow, men throughout the ages have just fought each other with it. And they have divided just isolated themselves from each other. And I think that was not God's plan. We have even sometimes let the Bible get in the way of love, you know. And that's when it's gone too far. When your theology prevents you from loving another person, you're really off the mark there. I've got a few other things to say. A couple things maybe for the young people. Be kind to those who are different. You know, David's said this before. Don't look down your nose at people. You know, you've got a pretty good life. You know, your parents have really done a whole lot to try to shelter you and take care of you and raise you up in a good, wholesome environment. And most of the world is not brought up that way, and are going through things that you couldn't imagine, possibly. And so be very careful. Don't look down your nose at anybody. Don't be so self-focused, like I already said. You know, these are just some good ideas just to keep in back of your mind. Just, you know, try not to be a person that, you know, toots your own horn. You know, tries to elevate yourself. Take responsibility for yourself. Trust God for the future. Young people have, you know, lots of questions about how things are going to end up in your future, and just hold on and just trust God for the future, and help anyone that you're able to help. Try to get your focus off yourself if you can, and just try to help people. The other day, me and the boys were driving, and there was on a country road, and there was a car that was pulled over to the side, and we stopped and to see if they needed help, and there was this lady in the car, and she was. You could tell she was kind of drugged out, didn't look so good, And we asked her if she needed help, and she said no. She was talking to somebody on the phone and everything. It's going to be okay. And then we drove off. And I had mentioned that she looked pretty drugged out. Excuse me. And then one of my sons said, yeah, I'm glad that we didn't have to help her. And at first, I scolded him, and I thought, no, you shouldn't be like that. You know, you should be ready to help everybody. But then I realized he was saying what I was thinking. But that's, you know, that's okay. You know, that's real. You know, some people, it takes a lot of work and effort to help. Sometimes it's not fun to do the right thing. And sometimes it's just, you know, real pain. But we choose to do it anyway. So anyway, if you don't want to do what's right, that doesn't mean that you're not spiritual, you know, or religious or whatever. You just, sometimes you gotta push past it and just do the right thing. If it was, always easy, you know, what would be the point? So anyway, want to, just tell, you know, some of you guys who are going through just real hard times, just hang in there. You know, this life is not going to last forever. You know, we're not going to have to go through all the pain and suffering that we have to go through forever. There is hope, and there is a reward for just keeping your eye on the Lord and loving Him and loving people. That there will be an end, and there is a reward. Just about playing around with sin, you know, you young people and, you know, us adults, you know, sin is still just waiting around the corner for all of us, you know. And if we're playing with fire, you're going to get burned. You just need to be careful. Some of you brothers here, most of you brothers, are just really good people. And I just really appreciate and have been so blessed by how much you guys have helped other people. You've helped people financially. You've done all sorts of things, and I just really appreciate that. And I just want to say, keep doing it. Keep going, keep helping people, doing the right thing, doing great things. Just don't think too highly of yourself. Be careful, you know. Don't hurt yourself, pat yourself on the back too much. You could always use help. You can always learn something, and just be careful. You know, life seems a little mundane sometimes. You know, just hang in there. Don't give up. You know, sometimes we can just seek the Lord, you know, for direction, you know, for something good to throw our energy into. You know, the young men have a lot of energy, a lot of passion. You know, seek the Lord and see if there's something that you can throw that energy into and just give it all you got. You know, don't give up. Just hang in there. You know, one thing also that's been a blessing is not only have I seen people in this church help people financially or, you know, that way, but also I've seen some people in this church help people who nobody else would help. Or reach out to people who there's no prospect of them actually joining the church and doing what we do. You know, I've seen you guys just help people just to help them. And that's such a blessing. I don't think there has to be, evangelistic strings attached to everything that we do. We can just help people because it's the right thing to do. be good to people. Don't think that you could not fall, just like people fall all the time. Satan would like to derail us, each one of us. And, just be careful. Somebody's trying to derail you. You young men, young women, all of us, we're trying to follow the Lord, but there is somebody working full time who's hoping that they can get you distracted long enough to get you off the way. Be the best that you can be. Wives, continue to support your husbands. Wives hold such an important position. And it's such a blessing when your wife supports you despite your flaws. Husbands, love your wives and all that entails. Keep your ears open to what God may be trying to tell you. There may be something in our lives that needs to change. Keep your ears open. If you think God might be trying to get your attention about something in your life, don't shut that off. Keep your ears open. Little children, you guys remember and learn how to be nice. Be nice to your brothers and sisters, to everybody. Get along. For the young married, or maybe the young engaged, I just had a little thought. Whenever I was about to marry my wife, or before, when I was thinking about it, trying to come to that decision, I had thought for a long time that as far as getting married, especially from the Christian background that I was in, that at some point I would just know, I would see my wife and I would just know that she was the one, and it'd be obvious, there'd be a big sign from God that said, she's the one, and it would just, it would be magic. But as I started, thinking about my wife here, I realized that love wasn't going to be some big feeling, some big sign, that love was actually going to be a choice that I was going to have to make every day. And that was actually a real blessing, because I can do that. That's something I can do. I can make a choice to love my wife every single day. And it's not, which means that things are going to be hard. Things are going to happen, but I still have a choice and I can still push through that. And I don't have to, don't have to over spiritualize it. Just have to do it. Just a few more things. Like I said, Christianity, there's so much theology, so much doctrine, and I'm less and less impressed with all that. Throughout the years that I've tried to be a Christian, since I was 20 years old, I would see all the different things that the churches did and go through all the theology and all that. And there's always different viewpoints, different opinions, takes on what Christianity was supposed to be. But the one thing that always seemed to stay the same was, for me anyway, was love. And that's the thing that stuck out, and that, You know, that's what Jesus said. He said the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor. I feel that now that is the one thing out of all the Christianity that I've been around, that's the one thing that has stayed the same is that truth that love is the most important thing, and it's the only hope for this planet and all the people on it is love. And there's different definitions of love, but anyway, that's our goal, is to show love, compassion, kindness, to be forgiving. I've seen people that, you know, I've seen religious people that, you know, have a hard time forgiving people, and you know, we really need to do that. And we need to be able to forgive people without making them jump through a bunch of hoops to earn our forgiveness. You know, we need to let just forgiveness be forgiveness. Just let it go. We need to show mercy. You know, we need to realize... I'm sorry. Okay, but you get the idea. You know, we also need to realize when we've gone from trying to be like Jesus to wanting to be right and wanting to be exalted. If your religion has derailed you from forgiveness or mercy or love, your religion is not Christianity. And I just, you know, I kind of, you guys are all really good at this. I've been really encouraged by the brothers here, but out there in the big realm of Christianity, if religion has derailed you from showing love or mercy or forgiveness, then you have no Christianity, and we need to adjust that. And anyway, I could go on and on, but that's pretty much all I have. Thank you for being who you are. I love you guys, and remember to not let things get in the way of what's truly important. And that's it.
I praise my name.
before the shining shore, we